Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. My name is Mike Johnson. Her name is Allie Mack. His name is Dylan. He's behind the glass playing all the tunes. The Buffalo Bills got 7 days till they come in here as an angry football team coming off a loss. What a crazy weekend it was. My back hurts from sleeping on a hotel bed. Dylan is still rooting for the Phillies. The Hawks have a preseason game tonight. We got to get into all of it, Allie. I'm not even going to stay in the way any longer. Guys, I am so happy to be back with you. I cannot even tell you.
It feels like a year's worth of stuff
really
has happened
really
since
does.
We were last in here. Dylan, are you healed since the Eagles lost?
I wasn't upset.
Man.
I'm a Falcons fan. I'm a Braves fan. And look, the thing about the Phillies is just that I would rather see a NL East team in there than a repeat of last year's World Series. That's all I was saying. Since I'm getting crucified for it, fine. It can be the Tigers and the Cubs or the Tigers and the Brewers
now.
Or something like that.
Don't back off now.
Since everybody was so up in arms about it.
Yeah, don't back off now.
Let's get you caught up in some of the headlines since we last got to talk with you. We will get into MLB playoffs in a bit, but got to highlight that Yankees are down. Blue Jays won the first two games of their series 10-1 on Saturday, 13-7 yesterday. They'll play again tomorrow. Hawks preseason starts tonight. They take on the Houston Rockets at 8 o'clock. Georgia bounced back with a 35-14 win over Kentucky at home. Three top 15 teams in college football got upset this weekend. UCLA got its first win of the season by beating number 7 Penn State 42-37. Florida beat number 9 Texas 29-21. And Cincinnati beat number 14 Iowa State 38-30. And of course, number 10, Alabama got a nice 30-14 win over number 16 Vanderbilt with our very own Mike Johnson in the building. Yeah. You excited about that one?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I got to say, just real quick, I sat in the end zone seats, like which I usually hate sitting. I'll never sit anywhere else. I could see the offensive line going left and right and pass protecting and picking up blitzes, and I was like, oh, my God, it's like O-line porn back here. This is so good. Why don't I sit in the end zone more often?
Why weren't you sitting in the end zone before?
Why wasn't I?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought the 50-yard line seats were the best seats in the house. You know what I mean? Like, always aiming for that. And I just, like, if I had my choice, it's like, oh, I'm going to sit at the 50 or the 40, you know, so I can see both ends of the field. No, dude. Like, that was where it was at, right there in the end zone. God, I could see the whole play opening up. It was so good. It was like watching the All-22 in real time.
When Simone and I go to games, that's where we usually sit. We usually sit in one of the end zones.
Bro, I loved it. I haven't sat many end zone seats in my time, but that was where it was at. Good stuff.
That's something we should talk about at some point. Maybe that's a top five Tuesday or something, is that things you're told are the best that aren't the best.
Yeah, maybe so.
Right?
There's
some type of expectations versus reality
right.
type thing.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
The Coca-Cola Classic, I like Coke Zero. I don't know.
You know
what I mean?
Funny.
I was told it needs to taste like the original. I don't want it to. I actually enjoy the Zero.
In a weird turn of events, that will come up during
yes,
my
will.
Mac drop today.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say that's going to come up again. No.
It will be in my Mac drop.
Allie, can I ask you a very quick question?
Yeah.
Have you listened to Taylor Swift's new album yet?
Of course I have. I saw the movie.
Have you listened to the whole thing?
Yes.
Okay. Can I get your quick synopsis on it? Because Simone has a take, and I'm interested to see what your take was.
I think if I was a preteen, I would love to figure out all the puzzles and Easter eggs and everything. But at this point in my life, I don't have time for this. I just don't have time. And this is exactly what the Mac drop is about, because I was a peripheral Swiftie this weekend watching everyone on TikTok figure things out. and it led to something really disappointing.
Oh, no.
I think Taylor upset some people this
weekend.
Oh, no. Yeah, so we'll
That's
talk
the first
about
time
that.
Ever.
I think I know what you're talking about, too.
It's a big deal.
Simone's main thing was, yeah, I think if we're talking about the same thing, she's also disappointed in one, Taylor Swift. But also, as far as, like, just the whole album goes, it's called Life of a Showgirl, and it's supposed to be about, you know, just her figuring out, you know, the life of a showgirl. But she feels like that's not what the album is about at all. It's about, like, it's a whole bunch of love songs.
It is.
That's not the life of a showgirl. So, besides the one song, Life of a Showgirl was actually about, you know,
right,
was on brand.
All right. You've gone on too long.
I'm sorry. I was waiting to pick Brand on this all week after this.
The problem is when you fall in love and things are great, music changes. You know how easy it was to run like 20 miles when I could listen to like man-hating music and all this stuff, and now I'm in love and it's just different. It doesn't work the same way. It's not as powerful. All right, so what we really need to talk about here, Mike mentioned it, the Falcons' next opponent, the Buffalo Bills, lost last night to the Patriots, 23-20, first loss for the Bills this season.
Yeah, I think in a weird way, what y'all were just talking about is a good segue into this conversation. Would you rather have the Bills coming off a loss, right, where it's like, oh, New England gives you the blueprint on how to stop the Buffalo Bills? Or would you have rather had them fat and happy on an eight-day work week where they can just be like, you know what, man, we're pretty good. We ain't worried about them Falcons down there. Like, it's kind of a double-edged sword.
If only we could have both. Couldn't they have gotten the loss and then played another game and won? And then
yeah. And that's what's crazy, and I'm watching it, and I think that Buffalo, I don't think they're broken anyway. I don't think there was a blueprint either way to what New England was doing. I think that Buffalo just played a very, very sloppy game last night. When you look at it, they actually finished the game with 11 penalties for 90 yards and 3 turnovers. Josh Allen absolutely forcing the ball a couple times, a throw over the middle to Khalil Shakir, bad throw. And New England was able to kind of jump on that. Drake May and company, kind of a little bit of a coming out party, but a massive win for Mike Vrabel and that team. So, yeah, I mean, I think that Buffalo, like, if you were like, oh, man, showed them the blueprint, I'd be like, nah, man, they just played bad.
that's the exact thing. The blueprint is, okay, Buffalo needs to beat themselves.
Yes.
Well, yeah, thanks a lot. We kind of already figured that. So I would have much rather Buffalo win, still be undefeated, riding that high, and kind of come in here sleeping on the Falcons a little bit because, again, it's not like New England, like you said, did anything special. Buffalo still ran for over 100 yards. Josh Allen still did a good job of passing. I think passed for, 243 or something like that? I'm not sure. So, again, New England didn't do anything special. Buffalo just beat themselves. It's plain and simple. But I will say this. I want to give shout-out to our fearless leader, Mike Conte. Did give an interesting nugget as far as the Falcons stats go. After all the Sunday games, Falcons, number one in total defense, number one in pass defense. Now, rushing. They're 16th, and I think that's the main thing. If they can somehow, if we talk about a somewhat blueprint to beating the Bills, they have to slow down the running game first and foremost.
Let me throw this right back at you then while we're on this topic, and you talk about the Falcons. This was the first round of byes, I believe, in the NFL.
Correct.
This was the first, I think, us in Chicago.
Steelers.
Steelers. So let me throw this back at you because I did think about this. Washington had a really good game. Now, Jaden Daniels is back in the lineup, but it wasn't that. Kroski Merritt ran the crap out of the ball.
He went off.
And so I'm looking at it going, is it Jaden Daniels that was that much better, or did the Falcons just do a really good job at one point? I mean, now, granted, like I said, Washington ran for like 150 yards, but that wasn't anything compared to what it felt like they did yesterday. So I don't know what to take away from that game looking at the first 4 weeks either.
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's the Falcons did do a better job of containing the Commanders offense overall. I also think it's a little bit of the Jaden Daniels effect too, because let's be honest, the Falcons weren't that scared of Marcus Mariota throwing the ball. And look, he made some good throws, but at the end of the day, they weren't that scared of Marcus Mariota beating him with his arm. The Chargers were absolutely scared, as they should be, of Jaden Daniels beating with him his arm. And
that's
so that it just added another layer to the Commanders offense that I don't think they necessarily had when Marcus Mariota was in there against the Falcons. So I think it's a bit of both. I think the Falcons still did a good job, but I also think with Jaden Daniels back, the Commanders had another set to their offense that the Chargers had to worry about. And so I think that's part of the reason why we saw what we saw yesterday.
Good call.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are a week out. How are you guys feeling? Optimistic or excited at this point since the Bills lost? Or is that going to kind of taper as the week goes? How does this work?
Here's how I feel about it. I think the Buffalo Bills, even after last night, are a top three team in the NFL. I think, and Dylan points out, I think they have to beat themselves. But I also think the Falcons can capitalize on a lot of those mistakes. The Bills were at home last night and had 10-11 penalties. Right, I think they had five. I'm pretty sure they had five penalties in the first quarter. I had to go back and look at it. I think they had five penalties in the first quarter. If the Falcons fans can give enough of a home environment, which I think is going to be tough with Bills Mafia headed south, that's going to be tough. But I do think, like, you know, we've talked a number of times. Xavier Watts has a dropped interception. Divine Diablo could have gotten his hands on one. Like, there are opportunities to take these balls away that you have to absolutely follow through with. Like, you can't have dropped interceptions or, you know, they put the ball on the ground, but they recover it. You have to be able to kind of, you know, do exactly what New England did and allow them to beat themselves, but also capitalize off those, you know, off those things. I think even when you saw Buffalo beat themselves, New England did a nice job of kind of rebounding and putting together a 90-yard drive or, you know, a quick score or an explosive play, and Drake May did a good job. So I think the Falcons have all the ability in the world to do it. I think you have to get the Commanders version of the offense and not the Panthers version of the offense, which is, you know, the easiest thing in the world to say. But I wouldn't say I'm scared of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Buffalo is what it is. I don't think, and Dylan can maybe back me up on this, I don't think my opinion on the Falcons will change if they go out and lose this game by a touchdown on Monday. I think that Buffalo is very good. Now, do I think the Falcons can win? Absolutely. So I don't know. I'm thank God we're still a week out because I'm still kind of wrapping my mind around it.
Yeah. The Falcons, they have all the pieces needed to take down the Buffalo Bills. The main thing, and I'll go back to it, the main thing I'm worried about is what they're going to be able to do to stop this Buffalo Bills running game, because we know this season, if there is anything, and this Falcons defense, all things considered, has been pretty darn good. I mean, we just talked about it. They're number one in total defense. The one thing, the one chink in their armor has probably been their lack of consistent rush defense. And, again, the 16th in rush defense right now. So that's the one thing that scares me. And if Buffalo is going to try to do anything against the Falcons, I think they're going to definitely try to establish that run game and get back on track that way. It doesn't – them losing against the Patriots and having the three turnovers and all the penalties, that doesn't necessarily make me feel any better or worse. Because you still have to imagine that Buffalo was going to come in here focused, trying to win a game, whether they were undefeated or now they got one loss to their name. So that doesn't sway me one way or another, but it does make me feel like, okay, they'll come in here maybe a little bit more focused, and the Falcons just have to make sure they're on their end game. And if they do give you opportunities as far as turnovers go, then the Falcons just have to take advantage of them.
Well, I know we sometimes have a reputation in Atlanta of getting to places and events a little bit late. We have 7 days to get the message out that you need to get there early. I know it's not you. It's everyone else in the party that's going with you.
That's right.
Just send the memo now. Get
the
smartest schedule now.
It's the traffic.
Atlanta traffic's awful. We get it. So let's plan ahead. You got 7 days.
Leave early.
Coming up. Alex Anthopoulos held a presser Saturday morning. He set the record straight on Brian Snicker's retirement. We'll get into those deets next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.